Yeah, the world has changed. It's only going to continue. And so as we progress, we need to just ask ourselves, how's our heart doing? How's our spiritual formation going? How's our relationships happening? And that's what I want to look at today. In the midst of all the technological progress, how are we doing internally and relationally? So let's pray before I go any further. God, thank you for the opportunity to talk about things that don't get talked about in many other places, to talk about things that matter, things that are of the heart, things that are transcendent. Help me to be clear. Help me to be helpful. And most importantly, God, I just want you to be honored by everything that I say. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. This is a piece of technology that we're going to talk about in a little bit. It's called a wineskin. Kind of crazy. Whoever invented this, that you could now carry your liquid with you from one place to another and hydrate instead of just hoping that you stumbled upon a river or a well. Jesus talked about this technology. I got to let you know, I am very pro-technology. I love technology. Who else in here just wants to go on record by saying, I love technology? I like it a lot. Yes, I do. I like it a lot. Who can tell me what movies that's from? Dumb and Dumber. That's right. Everybody over 45 knows these things by now. Yes. I am excited about technology partially because I have a wife that isn't in a wheelchair. I have a wife who I can talk to. I have a wife who has a life exactly the way it was a year and a half ago. If you didn't know, she had a stroke, massive stroke, couldn't talk, couldn't move. We all thought, okay, this is it. It's going to be the end of our life as we know it. And what do you know? Technology, the docs go up through her groin and artery, all the way up, go through her heart with a camera and a thing of medicine and a clamp, and they come all the way up the side of her neck into her brain. They see a clot, and they have this little pincher thing, grabs the clot, pulls out, and they squirt liquid or medicine in there, and she's good. Awesome. It's great, man. I love technology. I've been looking for the simple, stupid things like taking pictures. And some of you are going, yeah, I'll take a picture. What's the big deal? I'll tell you what. I remember not too long ago, we actually had to take classes to learn how to take pictures. We would actually take classes where they had this thing that was called film. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or seen it. You would get this stuff. It would be in a roll. You could buy it at 24 or 32 pictures, I believe it was. And you would take it into a dark room and dip it in chemicals. Crazy, crazy stuff would happen. It was pretty expensive. Expensive enough that you would take photos. Because you would kind of dole them out. You would conserve them. You take a couple photos, and you put your camera away. Then you go away on vacation, and you take a bunch of photos of vacation. You would go get it developed, and you'd forget what else was on there from 6 months ago, and sometimes your friend would grab your camera, and he would do all kind of interesting things with his camera that you were surprised by when you would get those photos. But now you could do anything you want with any photo. Shoot, we take photos of instruction labels, photos of all kinds of stuff because it's free, it's wonderful, it's able. I love it. It's great. I love that our technology here at Crossroads enables us to be in a room that people can hear because we have amplification. I love that. I love that there's people who want to get to a Crossroads location but can't get to a Crossroads location, and yet they're getting spiritually nourished through streaming services. Let me show you one such person who's actually inside driving distance to one of our sites but can't, and here's why.
To describe Ethan, he is a rambunctious 3-year-old who is just full of joy. You can make him laugh at the drop of a hat. He doesn't know a stranger. If you first meet him when you come to our house, he will get in your lap with a book. We found out when I was 20 weeks pregnant with him that he had what they called a diaphragmatic hernia, which was a hole in his diaphragm. And that allowed abdominal organs to move up into his chest cavity. So it moved his heart to the wrong side. It impeded the growth of his lungs. And long story short, he ended up with a trach because his airways were too floppy and his hypertension was too severe for him to breathe well on his own. So when we found out that something might be wrong with Ethan, Andrew and I, my husband, were shocked. It was something that we were hoping was going to be a lot less severe than it is. What brought us to Crossroads was streaming. Once Ethan came home, we couldn't go anywhere. He has a suppressed immune system, so especially in the fall and winter months, we pretty much have to hole up. We knew that was gonna be a pretty long-term thing. We felt kind of stuck. We didn't really feel like a part of anything because we didn't have a place to go. And so when we started streaming, it was a breath of fresh air. It was refreshing. It was so nice to be a part of some normalcy again, even though church was at home. Technology has been a huge part of our family, especially the last 3 years. With the advances in technology, Ethan most likely wouldn't have survived. It has saved his life many, many, many times. The Connect map was how we found our small group. So we searched using that tool. Family came up and we emailed them and they had openings. And so that's how we got connected with our small group and have been meeting ever since. And it was a way that we could feel part of a community and feel like we were also being able to give our son another piece of just who Jesus is. I love the idea of our kids being able to feel God in our house. And I think it's great for them to be able to go to church here. We're very thankful for streaming and the ability to do so because it has just been a blessing for our family.
Now, I love the technology that is enabling one of our families to connect with God and be a part of our church. I love that. But that's actually not the thing I love most about that story. You know what I love most about that story? I love the crossroads.net/connect, where they were able to find people to be in relationship to. That's a big thing I'm trying to get to us today. I'm trying to help us see that no matter how great technology is, the greatest piece of technology, the greatest thing that was ever created was people. Let me say it again. The greatest piece of technology, the most beautiful invention ever, is people. And when we can connect with people, man, something powerful is happening. And unfortunately, technology is not helping us connect with the greatest thing ever created, the human being. Consider these factoids. The liver, amazing. Amazing. You can cut out 70% of the liver, of your liver, and it will regenerate itself and grow back. There's no piece of technology that can cut itself in half and it will ever grow back again. The human brain, the last time I saw a study of the human brain going against the world's greatest supercomputer, it was a Japanese supercomputer. It was in the year 2014. And the total computing power of that world supercomputer equaled 1% of the brain's processing capacity for 1 second. That's the human brain that you and I have. Our eyeball transmits and takes in data faster than any internet modem there is today. We have the ability with our nose to smell and determine the difference between 1 trillion different scents. Nothing in the world comes close to that. If you took the average blood clot in your body, it would be 5 millicrons in diameter. The human hair is 17 millicrons. If you took all of your blood vessels and you lined them up end to end, you would take up 100,000 miles just with your blood vessels, which work amazingly because if you ever get cut, all those guys do the right thing and they all kind of come together and form and coagulate blood and enable you and I to live. We have the ability to self-heal. We have the ability to actually feel, to see something and weep, to see something and laugh, not because we're programmed to do that, But because it's part of being human, we have an awareness of our environment because we're created in the image of God and we have capacities that God has that no machine will ever learn. AI will never be you. You are the greatest invention that you've ever seen or put your hands on. In fact, every single person, every single human is. This was a piece of technology that Jesus talked about it a number of different times. Here's one of the times he talks about it. It comes from the book of Luke chapter 5. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says, the old is good. Now, I'll talk about this a bit more later on, but Jesus is saying this thing is a modern replica of a wineskin. It's not a true wineskin because it's got a seam that's actually expandable. The original wineskins, all you had was the hide and stitches, and Jesus says, I am coming to do a new thing, and it's going to be robust. It's going to be fermenting. It's just what you need when you store new grapes and the mash and the liquid you need to put into something that while it ferments and turns to alcohol. Isn't that awesome? Jesus talked about alcohol. God bless America. It's wonderful. So while it becomes alcohol and as it ferments and then expands, you need something that is very, very flexible instead of something that is old and something that is brittle. I believe the new things that God is pouring in, God is pouring new things into our culture, but I'm saying the new things right now that technology is bringing our way is actually hurting the greatest invention there is. That's people, that's you, that's relationships. I don't think there's any doubt that our skyrocketing increase in mental illness is intrinsically tied to our skyrocketing increase in technology. Mental illness has always been around. It's always been around. Unfortunately, it hasn't been diagnosed, so we haven't had the medications to help with it. It's always been around, but it's never been around to the degree that it is today. And I believe it's because we are starved relationally. I believe it's because our devices are actually taking us away from the greatest medicine there is, that's real human touch. It's real people to kind of be around us. The shooting that was in Cincinnati a couple weeks ago, it was a gentleman who had mental illness, and he wanted to kill people because he wanted them to feel what he was feeling. This was a lonely person that didn't understand how to express emotion, how much of it was inborn issues with his brain, how much of it was the culture that we're in. I don't know about that individual, but I know this. I know, and I think we all would recognize this. All of us are less relationally competent because of our devices. All of us are less relationally empathetic because of the pool of our technology and our devices. Where we used to talk with other people, we now look at screens. And it has increasing impact in our loneliness and our ability to help one another. And in our ability to have the kind of life that God actually wants us to live in. And before we had less technology, there were more natural things that would happen in our lives that actually brought us around people. Before there was self-scanning, there were these things called cashiers. I never ever heard of these people. They're called cashiers. And they would sit there and they would handle all of your items and look at you. And you would look at them. And actually, you would stand in line with other humans, and you would actually talk with them because you had nothing better to do. You either like read the National Enquirer about how alien babies were inhabiting snakes in the lines at Kroger, or you talked to people. It was amazing. It was amazing. That was right before you would try to figure out which line was going to be the shortest line, right? Because it used to not just be how many people were in each line with a mathematical equation of how many items they had in their cart and figure out which one would be. It was also like, which one of these losers in this line is going to actually write a check? So you're going, check? What's a check? It's like this piece of paper, same size as a dollar bill. And when someone write a check, you go, oh, no, you got to be kidding me. They call manager over and have forms of ID. I love, man, I love barcodes. I love them, love them, love them. I love that I've never heard Mildred say for, I haven't heard Mildred say for 10 years, price check on aisle 3. You're sitting there waiting for some guy to come. Ridiculous. So I love technology, but we also had the ability to talk to people when they actually went shopping. I love the GPS. I got one on my phone. I got one on my motorcycle. I love GPSs. I love how efficient it is. And we talk to less people. We used to have to wind down our windows. I don't mean press a button to, wind down our windows. We would wind down our windows and say, excuse me, sir, could you tell me how to get to so-and-so? Oh, yeah, you talk to people. We don't talk to people anymore. In fact, we can't remember things any longer. No, we've made the same trip 20 times, and we still have to use our GPS because our mind is shrinking. Our heart for relationships and our mind is shrinking. I love Craigslist. It's wonderful. And, boy, I remember want ads. You used to have to read a newspaper and call somebody on the phone. Hey, tell me about your car. And you have to go look at it. Maybe look at it 2 times and get to know that guy or that woman a couple times. Now everything is streamlined and relationships are cut out. I love Expedia. And I have friends who used to be travel agents, used to actually talk with you to help you think through. I do have one good friend, Kim Collings, great travel agent. You know, she's one of the dying breed because there's not many people that actually get to talk to about trips and say, hey, you might want to try this. If you thought of this, oh, I was there 2 years ago. Did this human interaction, we're losing it. Love Google, it's great. And I feel sorry for the beady-eyed librarians. Where have they all gone? You used to have to get information, you have to go into a library and there'd be an old woman with a bun in her head and a pencil stuck in there and trifocal glasses. And she was amazing. She knew everything, like everything. I'm looking for a book on Aaltu Dewey Decimal says 8.39Z. Like, oh, it was amazing. She was like a walking encyclopedia herself. You talked to her. You had to actually know your neighbors because Uber wasn't there to take you to the airport. And matter of living was about knowing your neighbors because you needed them to drive you and drop you off at the airport because you couldn't afford a yellow cab. And Uber wasn't around. And you would know your neighbors, and you would send somebody over. You'd send a kid over, or you as a kid would go over, and you would borrow a cup of sugar because you knew all your neighbors' names. I knew all the names of everybody. I grew up on Evergreen Drive in Murraysville up till 6th grade, and every neighbor on the entire street, 3710 Glen Eagle Drive later on. I couldn't name my 8 closest neighbors now. Can you name your 3 closest neighbors, your 4 closest neighbors? If you're normal, you can't. It's because you don't need people. We have technology. And that's what we have. And yet, the greatest piece of technology that's ever been invented, that's ever been created, the most valuable piece, is people. It's amazing. It's astounding. And as we become more technologically proficient, we become more relationally deficient. As we've progressed in our understanding of technology, we've regressed in our ability to relate to one another. It's gone hand in glove. We don't know what it's like to one another. This is just spirituality 101. It's relationships 101. You know, there's 101 verses in just the New Testament version of the Bible, just the New Testament portion of the Bible, 101 verses that talks about how to one another, to one another, one another. Here's how Jesus put it in John chapter 13. He says, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. People will know that you're tracking with me if you love people, if you love one another. And technology, while most of it aspires to be neutral, there's elements of technology that are getting darker and more sinister. Seriously, very dark and very sinister, and I might even say increasingly intentionally. At least this is the outcome or the conclusion you come to after reading a recent article in The Atlantic about the new iPhone that's coming out. That is, it's way larger than this phone that I have. I don't like the newer iPhones because I still like to get my thumb wherever I need it to go. And I just don't want a large one to, you know, kind of do that. Well, this is like ancient and tiny. Even the supers, the larger ones, the new iteration of the iPhones coming out is larger than the largest iPhones there are right now. And the author of this Atlantic column was pretty intuitive. And here's what their take on it. It says this: Apple is making a statement about how you ought to use your smartphone, not casually, but wholly, with your entire face and body involved. Both hands grip fast the device, held close, so the external world can recede and the smartphone can take its place. What place would that be? The place at the throne of your and my life. The place that captures our imagination. I mean, could you imagine how weird it would be if you went over to a party and instead of someone talking to you, they stared at the refrigerator all night? Can you imagine how stupid and idiotic it would be if you saw people walking down the street carrying and looking at microwave ovens? They're just walking because they like their technology so much, they have to have their microwave with them. They just want it. And yet that's what we do. We choose technology over people whenever I'm with any other people. And I'm with this instead. Why would we be with this when we can be with this? In fact, we've gotten really, really good at this, and we've gotten really, really bad at this. Like, really awful. We would do well to take a programming class, not in computers, but a programming class in relationships from the one anothering texts in the New Testament portion of the Bible. Let me give you a couple here. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. How's that for competition? Let's compete by outdoing one another to show honor to one another instead of outdoing our snarkiness with one another. Honor one another. Love one with brotherly affection. With actual real hugs, real pats on the back. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Be tender. Forgive others. Don't keep the dialogue going forever and ever like social media enables, but actually forgive. Why? Because Jesus forgave us. He forgives us and loves us, and he calls us to forgive and love others. As only we can make a choice as human beings, we have the ability to make a choice. This thing will never make a choice. It's not advanced enough technology. It just does what's pre-programmed to. You and I, we can make a choice. Why? Because you're the greatest piece of technology that you will ever be in contact with. We've just been losing things. We've lost the ability to talk with strangers. We've lost the ability to smile when we're around other people. We've lost the ability to know what it's like to come alongside somebody who's hurting. We may not even know how to do that for somebody else. I believe this is why counseling will continue to be a great career opportunity. I'm pro-counseling, love counseling. There's some things we wrestle with. We've got to do counseling. And especially, we need it because we need now paid relationships, because we don't know anybody who can just listen to us and will listen to us. And we don't know how to sit with somebody in their pain and just listen, or maybe even offer a word, because we know technology, but we don't know people any longer. We don't know how to date any longer. Young males don't know how to have first dates. People aren't dating because we're uncomfortable being one-on-one with somebody who's young because we understand groups and texts and everything. But when it actually comes to asking a question, and then maybe they say no and we get rejected, and how do I deal with rejection in the midst of relationship? We don't know because we're relationally hurting. Dating is going away. Even human sexuality as we know it is changing. There are now brothels in Barcelona, in Toronto, and in France where there are mechanical dolls that you can go in and you can have your sexual fantasy with. And they learn what you like. And they never talk back, and they're always ready for you. And they go, you go in, and you have sex with the doll that has a computer chip program and understands what you want to hear and do. And this is what happens. Not trying to gross you out. And then they leave, and they wipe her and hose her down, and it's time for the next person to come in and do their thing. No lie, I have a friend of mine who was at Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago not too long ago, and he saw a guy wheeling around his doll in a wheelchair, talking to her like she was a real person. This is not sci-fi fantasy. You just look at where we're going, you see us increasingly unable to relate. You talk to any sex therapist, they'll tell you their greatest customers are young 20-year-old men who are now used to so much to having sex with themselves that they freak out if they're actually with a real person. Because technology enabled us to have porn any time that we want. And actually interacting with the real physical person is incredibly stressful. And many just can't do it. Technology, friends, like it or not, recognize it's changing us. As technology progresses, we are relationally regressing. Let's talk about those of us who are married. Those of us who are married, man, we are strategic. I am incredibly strategic about when this thing gets charged. I mean, it is awful if this thing goes out during the day, so I make sure it's getting a charge, or I don't want to go out. Are we as nearly as strategic about charging our marriage? Are we nearly as strategic knowing I've got, just like I know I got to plug it in here at this time of day, I got to make a call to my spouse this time of day, whenever is helpful for that person, that just tells them I'm thinking about them. Do I intentionally send encouraging texts using technology to do that? Do I intentionally, when I get home, think about them? Am I as strategic about that as I am this, which gives me zero relational warmth or relational fuzziness? If you've been following the news with Elon Musk, he's the tech guru of our day, right? And God, my gosh, the guy's reshaping the auto industry, reshaping the transportation industry, reshaping the delivery of goods, reshaping space travel. I mean, so much stuff. And he works 120 hours a week. On a recent podcast, he got in trouble because he took a hit, couple hits of a doobie on the broadcast, and his stock price started wavering because many investors don't feel like they can trust somebody who has that kind of erratic behavior. As I've watched that podcast and interacted with him, the thing is, it looks to me like this technological guru, an amazing man, is getting darker and darker behind the eyes. Like something is being snuffed out. Loss of humanity, loss of depth, loss of beauty. Could that be the case with us? Could we be losing our humanity, our very soul, because we're more in love with a tangible, tactile computer chip than we are with people? I mean, do we get more of a joy over an upgrade? Is that spike in emotions equal to the spike in emotion of being around people, or even the bandwidth, the dip of grieving because we're around somebody? Book of Romans says, rejoice with those who rejoice and grieve with those who grieve. Who would say that you're a person, that I'm a person that rejoices with them, that grieves with them? This is the one thing that we get to do as humans that our devices will never do for us. Our devices will never mourn with us. They'll never rejoice with us. They'll never make us into a better person. A more informed person? Yes. A more well-read person? Perhaps. It will never make us into a better person. They'll never make us into a better human. It'll never make us into a more full-hearted, fully alive human being. Never, ever, ever. You and I are unique creations of God, and you're the best that's ever been. Nothing else is in your category that will ever come out of Silicon Valley, ever. And all the people around us, wherever we are right now, all of them, you'll never be around a greater group of creations than right now. I don't care what store you go to, what Neiman Marcus, what Apple store, you are surrounded right now with the greatest objects of love created in the identity of God right now that you'll ever have anywhere. And our technology is numbing us out. We're all different technology, different skin tones, different sizes, different ages, different economic impact, different all that stuff. But beautiful, transcendent, and amazing nonetheless. Now, when a church, you would think, if a church were to talk about technology, it would be like real negative. And I think you've seen this whole entire series. We are very pro-technology. I'm just trying to help us understand. There's something else we've got to be careful of. Let's go back to this piece of technology. The church has always been good and great at technology. Any historian knows that part of the reason why the printing press took off was because believers were like, great. Now we can actually have the Bible printed, use technology to have the Bible, and we could all have our own Bible. And religious literature was like the highest volume stuff. You might have heard of Martin Luther. This is older, white Martin Luther, didn't have a king on the end. He led the Reformation, which was about helping people understand. Maybe there's some things about the Roman Catholic Church in this day and this time that aren't biblical. And he was a master of short, pithy things that caused him to be very well published. And he actually changed the course of civilization because of leveraging the technology of the printing press. 2,000 years ago, God used the Roman roads, which were technological marvels, to send his people to one another, people who they didn't know, to go into other lands to talk about who Jesus was. It was the modern technology of the Roman road, and the church leveraged that. Here at Crossroads, we are going to learn about Rome in a couple weeks. We're going to start a new series. It's called Empires, looking at the empires of the ancient Roman Empire, the current American Empire, and the Kingdom of God Empire. And we're going to leverage in that the use of technology by actually going to Rome for a series that we're going to see in a couple weeks called Empires.
We're in Rome, and you know what they say, when in Rome, we have issues in life because we are prone towards the empire of this world against the ways of God. Francesca! All roads lead to Rome.
Oh, yeah.
Is there something in me that makes me feel like I'm always the one who has to be in control?
I get to drive the scooter, you get to ride the scooter.
Power can be an incredibly positive thing, but it also can start abusing us. Do we want to be like everybody else that abuses power, clutches on to all that is ours? Or do we want to be like God, using our power to bless others and connect with him in the process?
It's going to be a really great series, and here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you not only to take advantage of that technology, which is going to make teachings we're going to give more powerful than if I stood here on stage, but also it's going to enable you to connect with people. I want to encourage you to do the chaser. It's something we do that gives questions for people coming together in groups. Start your own group. You're ready to pull some people together? Pull some people together and have some real conversation. We'll give you stuff during that series that every week, 3 or 4 questions, you can sit down and actually talk with one another. Actually break into opening up your lives to one another. It's a beautiful thing, it's a great thing, but it's the melding or the welding of the technology with the greatest piece of technology, which is you and me. And if we're not learning to connect with real people, our hearts are going to shrivel and they're going to die. And truth be told, our hearts are shriveling and our hearts are dying. Let's go back to Jesus' words. He says, no one puts new wine to old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst, the skins will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins, and no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says, the old is good. I'm just really thankful that we're part of a church that is very flexible. Jesus is saying when he does new things, it has to be in the midst of communities or in a container that's very flexible. You want it in a new wineskin where the joints and the skin can flex with it, because as it ferments, it's going to be somewhat explosive. And I just got to tell you, that's one of the things I love about the people that God draws to Crossroads. We do a lot of new things. Not all of them are good. Sometimes they blow up and they're not very tasty. But sometimes we hit it really, really well, and it's because we have this flexible church that's up for trying new things. And Jesus is saying, I'm about the new thing. I'm about that. But here's the other thing he says. He says, but I need to put my new wineskin to contain new fermenting wine so that the old is preserved. What is the old? The old is people. And why is the old to be preserved? It's to be preserved because it's better. In fact, sometimes older churches are finer tasting wine. Old wine is the best tasting wine. Not the stuff that's just been mashed up. That's not the best tasting wine. It's the old wine. And Jesus says he wants to preserve both the old and the new. I have a friend of mine I used to ride motorcycles with. He lives on the other side of the country, so we would meet up. I used to have a Harley, and it was kind of these Harley trips we would do. And Bert was his name, and I don't get to talk too much. And he reached out not too long ago, said, hey, my wife has brain cancer. Would you pray for her? And I said, absolutely, absolutely. And then went to Crossroads Connect and found some people in his area in California who were part of Crossroads. Hey, would you go over to my friend's house? And would you take some oil over? Because the Bible talks about oil, anointing with oil and laying hands. And would you pray for him and his wife, Sarah? And they're like, yes, I'm going to do that. That right there is the picture of the new wineskin of technology, but you have to have the old of relational connection. You have to have that. I love that we stream. I love that people can stream. And I got to tell you, I know this. The old wine of gathering in a room, I still believe there is this thing called the Holy Spirit, and I still believe that he fills rooms. I believe that when people are singing to God, when people are connecting with God, it's always more important with more people than it was one person listening to Spotify. Always. Because the Bible talks about, quote unquote, that God inhabits the praise of his people. Where two or more are gathered, or it's even more, if 1,000 or more are gathered, I am there with them. There's something powerful about that. We love having great curriculum your kid can watch on a computer, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing like the old wineskin you bring them to kids' club. And there's a person there that puts their hand on your child's shoulder and says, great to have you here today, Grady. Great to have you here. It's great that there's education online, but I'll tell you that will never substitute the old wineskin. And when you're in high school or you're in junior high and there's an adult at your church that's cool and not your parents, and they talk to you about things that you can receive from them that you can't receive from your parents, why? Because that's the old wineskin of mentoring, the old wineskin of life on life. I love that there's things like the Khan Academy, where you can go online, you can learn how to kind of crunch algebra and all that kind of stuff. I'll tell you what, when you're an underperforming kid, when you're challenged educationally, the old wineskins of Whiz Kids or Academy, where you actually sit with somebody and they look you in the face, they say, you're doing good, you did that one well, and they encourage you. No computer program's ever going to be able to do what you can do by building into a life, ever. The greatest wine that was ever done was the very wine that represents the blood of Jesus. This is what communion is. Communion is when Jesus transcendently one anothered us. He came down, he went on a cross, he stretched open his arms, he took nails through his wrists and through his feet, blood poured down his face and over his charred and scarred back. And he did this, why? Because he was one anothering you, so that you and I would never have to pay the justice of God, because God's a just God. Let's be very clear, if he's not a just God, he's not a worthy God of following. And Jesus, the one person who never did any sin before God, goes to a cross so that therefore he's not dying for his own stuff, he's dying for your stuff. He's dying for my stuff. And he says, when we get together in these old wineskin ways, let's remember what he did and let's connect with each other and let's connect with God himself. It's called the ancient old wineskin of communion, where the blood and the body of Christ is celebrated. I'm going to pray right now and then we're going to do that in all of our locations or wherever you're located right now. God, I thank you that you're an amazing lover. You love us more than we even love ourselves. And you've proven that. You proved that on the cross. You proved that even by bringing us here today and giving us some information we needed. And you proved that by bringing hidden vessels of gold into our lives that we've ignored. God, as we take communion right now, we just tell you thank you. Thank you for loving us and pouring yourself out for us. I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So you got one of these when you came in. Hopefully, let's go ahead and pull this out. This is great for those of us who have received Christ, who are in a relationship with Christ. If you've never received Christ, maybe this is the time for you to do that. You just say a simple prayer, receive him into your life, or maybe you take communion right now, and this is your time to tell God, I'm committing my life to you. I ask you in my life. I want your Holy Spirit. I ask for your forgiveness. And maybe if you do this could be the time you do that. Now, if you don't want to do that, you're not ready for that, that's okay. You're not in a relationship with God yet through Jesus. And so save this for when that happens. But for the rest of us who want to, for those of us who want to remember that, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take off this very top portion. There's a little itty bitty like saran wrap. There it is. Got it. To get to the wafer, this little wafer. This represents the very body of Christ that was broken for you. When we gather together, let's remember that Jesus broke himself for you, the people he loves, the body of Christ. Take and eat. Then as Jesus sat at the Last Supper with his disciples, he took the wine. In this case, we have little things of juice, which personally always bums me out. See if we can order some of these that have actually some fermented juice. It's a possibility. It also just kind of brings, what is that like about the wine? The wine brings to us a bittersweet taste. The death of Christ is bittersweet. It's sweet in that it gives forgiveness, but it's bitter in that our God actually died for us, a very painful death. But make no mistake about it, he did it willfully. Because you are the greatest invention. You are in the category of the greatest invention ever. And your Savior was excited to die for you and to spill his blood for you. And so we remember that right now and we drink afresh of the forgiving grace of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ given for you. Partake. Thank you.
right, guys. That's all we got, right?
That's it. Put it on your calendar to be here the 26th and 27th. It's gonna be amazing. All right? We'll see y'all later. Have a great one.